Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back to Wrestle Me. Wrestle Me, Mark.
Episode 10, Wrestle Me, Peter.
I didn't think we'd get here, to be honest.
No.
But we did.
I didn't think we'd get here when I started watching like WrestleMania 5 and it was 17 matches. And I thought, do you know what? We're not actually going to get the time to watch all this.
How are we going to do this?
Oh, it goes on and on and on. But it's not actually boring. I quite enjoyed it.
I enjoyed WrestleMania 5 after the slight misstep. Maybe it's just because they...
Just because
they put more seats in for this one, because the Trump Plaza hotel casino thing, there seemed to be a lot more people in this room.
I think maybe as well it had sort of become a bit more mainstream entertainment, so people are just more into it.
The people at the top seem to think that they had a responsibility to someone rather than just doing whatever the hell they bloody wanted.
Actually, I think about it, like 1988, which is the year before, is really where they start ramping up the merchandise, so you probably see lots more pictures of Hulk Hogan, so it's exciting to see him.
There's a lot more Hulkamaniacs in the yellow vested Hulkamaniacs in the crowd,
I noticed there's like a lot of middle aged men who are presumably the kids, and it's a really weird thing of like 1989 America. Everybody is wearing like a work suit, so it's like a work shirt, so it's like sort of always, it's always white, grey or blue, and that's all that men wore in 1989. And if you wanted to be snazzy, you grew a tash.
Yes,
that's it,
exactly,
no other way around it.
Well, we're going to start this show. We ended with a slightly maudlin kind of chat about
Jesse Ventura fucking Grace Jones.
That was not modern, that was magical, as you well know. But we talked a little bit about the Blue Blazers and stuff and his sad death. But we're going to kick off with something a little bit more whimsical. Inexplicably, in the middle of all his wrestling, Mark, there's a charity fun run going on.
Yep, that's right.
Never explained.
Wrestlers are taking part in. No actual wrestlers.
One wrestler is taking part.
You say wrestler. One man
who's on the payroll of a wrestling company.
That's right. Introduced by Alfred Hayes, who says...
So, exactly... Nothing better. Mr. Fuji, bad at doing anything. Lord Alfred Hayes, bad at doing anything. Two rank amateurs interacting. They thought, right, how can we make this brilliant?
Yeah.
Put them both together.
I think it's that thing of going, we've got to put this big show on for everyone. But guys in the back room, let's have a little something for us.
Right? Look, something for Daddy.
We're going to put Lord Alfred Hayes and Mr. Fuji together. They're going, you can't. We can.
This is like Andre versus Vito.
It's the dream match, but on the flip side. And annoyingly,
it's what the world is coming to, Mark.
Annoyingly, the concept of it is bad. And somehow, because the concept is bad, they don't ruin it.
No, they can't ruin it. It's impossible. Mr. Food, there's a charity fun run.
Mm.
There's a load of people actually doing what seems to be a proper, legitimate charity fun run, whatever the hell it is.
Like runners,
like runners. And Mr. Fuji is dressed like Mr. Fuji, his knockoff James Bond character.
Yeah,
character.
Oddball.
And he runs the race. He gives himself a few...
I should say, it's odd job. I'm aware that I've made some mistakes in the earlier episodes, and I'm not... And I said oddball there as a joke, and I thought, someone will go, it's odd job. And I know it's odd job, and I know actually...
Mark, you're involved in James Bond podcast, mate.
I know, and I got that Toru Tanaka story so wrong.
Did you?
So massively wrong.
Oh, well, never mind.
I hope it's... I hope it's all a dream.
Well, Mr. Fuji... operated a training gym.
Did he?
Later in life.
What
was he training? It's like Lord Halfred Hayes starting in, like, a talent agency or something.
Or
to read an autocue.
A wrestling interview at school. Fuji comes out and they've got this terrible thing about going, you're going to take part, aren't you, Mr. Fuji?
That's a really good impression of Lord Halfred Hayes.
Fuji, go and take part in the... running.
Hello, I hardly opened my mouth in any of these interviews.
Tense, very tense. And Fuji, he says something indecipherable. Absolutely no help at all. And the best thing about it is it goes on too long.
Yeah.
And I can't work out what he says. And Alfred nods. And at the end, Alfred goes, I'm going to make a judgment call here. Going to ask him another question.
Yeah. Has this gone on too long? We're about to start the race.
Yep.
The WWE have managed to shoehorn themselves into this situation.
Yep.
Is this allowed?
And then Fuji drones on. And then there's this sort of, you know, he has to do a jog in front and he cheats by going off before the whistle, gets about 2 metres ahead of everyone else. And then they run past and then you meet him at the end.
Yeah.
And normally you'd meet him at the end and you'd go, you finished suspiciously quickly.
Yeah, and the taxi driver will wave at him or something. It's never...
You're the greatest booker this company
you've
ever had.
There's no gag there.
They go, how was it? He goes, yeah, it's good. You know, it's actually sort of difficult. And he's not been running. He's not broken a sweat. And he breaks a sweat normally when he's standing there. And Alfred sort of goes, how was it? And he goes, yeah, it was really good, actually. Yeah, I had a really good run. And he goes, oh, well done you. Well done. That's really... What are we doing? We know what the joke is.
Lord
the joke
Alfred
is
Hayes. Lord Alfred Hayes. What I like about it, their purgatory was that they would have to have stood, like, driven actually to the finish line and wait until all the, you know, until it all finished.
It takes place on the Atlantic City Boardwalk. They will have had somewhere that served beer there. The two of them would have been having a wonderful time. Although, Christ knows, if Fuji ordered, you're not going to get the right order. If Alfred Hayes orders, you're not going to get the right order.
No, seeing Alfred Hayes in... sunlight is interesting because his hair dye kind of, it's three different colours. It's like the tail end of a raccoon, or a red fox or something. I don't know.
Red
panda. You know, like a red panda's tail. It's like black and white and red. It's all different colours, and where he's got hot in the sun, it's turned a bit black and it's clearly staining his head. Oh,
I should imagine it is probably something illegal.
It's got everything.
It's a toupee that's like an endangered animal that you could get in the 80s. I'm wearing a red panda on my head. Good, well done. Put him on telly.
But the main warm-up for the next match is Run DMC, inexplicably.
Do you know, I can only think that they were booked to do America the Beautiful and everyone was too panicky about whether they were going to turn it political.
Yes.
Because they're the big musical act here.
Yeah. I don't know why they didn't open it.
No.
Very strange.
I think they must have just been too controversial at the time.
I think they did a song about wrestling, didn't they?
Well, it's called WrestleMania Rap. You say rope, Pete.
Have you got the lyrics there?
Say ho, ho, ho. Scream. Say mania. Say wrestle. Say mania. It don't stop. Ladies and gentlemen, Run DMC Live. A lot of it is, it sounds like it could be a generic thing they do, and
they just added the word wrestle and mania.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've thrown it in. And there's a weird thing where you suddenly see Donald Trump sitting in front, in that front row, when Run DMC are performing around him. And I was thinking, there's a strange set of circumstances that you probably will never see again.
If you're going to pick out who was going to be the president, you'd probably go with Jam Master Jay.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
Jam Master Jay's wearing a necklace that's thicker than Hercules' chain.
Is he?
It's really thick. It's like, wow,
really,
that's thick.
Really good if Haku would come out and broken the keyboard over his head. They are much, much louder in the ring than the reception they get. Run DMC are actually a sort of quite a bold booking at that time. I mean, that's
like you said, the Salt and Pepper had a bit of trouble when they played.
Yeah, there's been a bit of a history of, especially when they go to the southern states, you know, some of the sort of black music doesn't go down very well. Mm. But this is a strange one. It's just in the wrong place.
Mm.
And the other thing is the WWE or WWF, they don't really support it. They don't give it the support it needs.
No.
So Gorilla, he just comes back and he says like he's like praising it. He goes, a little bit of that went a long way with me.
I would have preferred a little bit of that as the subtext rather than all of it.
I can stomach almost none of that. Wonderful stuff, guys.
They're just talking.
And then we get more Fuji.
Fuji with his top off. I've
with
never seen that
off.
Before.
It's not what you imagine, is it?
I was expecting... because there are wrestlers with his physique.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
Yeah.
Like chubby chaps.
Yes.
He's chubby, but...
Solid, like a rock.
Yeah, he looks too
like
solid.
A stone.
If my dad took his top off, I'd go, that's not as solid as Mr. Fuji looks solid. Maybe it's because he's just a bit more tanned. I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a chunky old chap.
It's Mr. Fuji and the Powers of Pain versus WWF Tag Team Champions Demolition. This is the only pay-per-view match that Mr. Fuji ever has.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I hate Demolition. They're rubbish. I don't like them at all.
Do you not?
I just don't like them.
Oh, I like Demolition. I think they look properly iconic. I think they look really good. And what's weird about this match is this is the Road Warriors, who are the big famous tag team of the 80s, two big, painted, really strong guys who don't sell for anyone. Mm. This is a match between the two main knockoffs of them.
Right.
Demolition Steeler Act, the Powers of Pain, who have a feud with them in NWA in the years before this, they steal their act as well.
Yes.
So you've got the two premier tribute acts, the Road Warriors, having a match here. the Warlord and the Barbarian are the Powers of Pain. The Barbarian, not a bad wrestler. He's
all right,
pretty good.
I think it's Warlord I didn't like more.
Warlord,
than, yes. Warlord
is,
doesn't look very good.
Warlord is... He was clearly on steroids throughout much of his career, especially when he had a solo career.
Right.
His career ended in about 1996 when he got rear-ended by a Pizza Hut van, hurt his back. But he came back after trying to get an insurance payout or getting an insurance payout. He came back as a bodyguard to people like 50 Cent.
Oh,
he
nice.
Is Dave Bautista's best wrestler of all time.
Really?
Dave Bautista is the only person who's ever said, my favourite wrestler of all time is the Warlord. No one's ever said it, ever. He is appalling. He's so bad. And yet Dave Bautista's like, oh, that guy is great. Why is he good? And he was like, oh, because he looked so good. Well, a bit more to it than that, Dave.
No, like, Dave's all right, isn't he?
Dave can be great. He's had some periods in his career where he has been fantastic. He also looks really good.
Yeah, he looks great. I've interviewed him before, and he's just he's so well.
Did he pick you up and hug you? It'll be all right.
He did it. I'd love that. But he's a gigantic man, and like I mentioned, the when we went to the Ribera Steakhouse, he was like, oh, I can't believe you knew that. And he was like really impressed with my basic wrestling knowledge.
I saw a wrestler I'd not heard of the other day outside at the Ribera wearing one of those satin jackets.
Ah.
And my first thought was, absolute cow. How did we go there and not manage to swing a Ribera Steakhouse jacket?
I know, if you wore me, like, some extra heft.
We could dress you up as Jimmy Hart.
Right? He's the one guy, I think. Yeah, he's the only guy in wrestling that I look like.
Yeah.
If CM Punk was a manager.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, no.
Well, actually,
we could try and swing the CM Punk thing, but he's almost... That would cause us problems in some way. I want that satin jacket so badly.
We'll get you one. Look,
I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to become a wrestler for 3 years. And I'm going to have to do a Japan tour, and it's only to get the jacket. And the minute I get that jacket on, I'm like, laters, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going back to my job as a writer of radio features. Goodbye.
I met... you're currently, at the moment, the producer of the AIM and Holmes Talk Sport Show.
The executive producer.
Sorry, the executive
AIM and
producer.
Holmes Talk Radio Show, Pete.
And then he joined New Japan Pro Wrestling.
To take
on Taka.
3 awful years, embarrassing years, and the last time anyone saw him, weirdly, I mean, we saw him in the Ribera Steakhouse, and no one knows what's happened to him. I'll tell you where I am, mate. I'm at home wearing my Ribera jacket, and my life is good.
I brought a crowbar and just opened the cupboard where they keep them, ran off.
That's a much easier thing than me training and going to be Japan for 3 years as a wrestler. Let's just nick them.
I wouldn't mess with anyone in that bloody place. There was a guy eating 2 sticks.
I know.
Like, he was like the size of me, tiny little chap. He was just piling through 2 steaks.
You don't get a lot of steak over there, do you?
No.
So maybe,
well,
you know,
get the best steak. You get the lovely, oily Wagyu. Oh, God, I love Wagyu stuff.
But, you know, and I remember it being, it wasn't like the cheapest meal. It was delicious. It wasn't cheap. But they could easily raise their average income if they would sell me a Ribera jacket at just over cost.
I think that wrestlers, you can just go back and get as many as you want, because Batista definitely said that he had more than one. I'm fairly certain that's the case.
Get me Batista's number.
I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was Guardians, wasn't it? He was doing Guardians before he did...
Guardians, eh?
Oh,
what we call it in the trade.
I call it G2. I call it the G2 experience. But yeah.
Man.
After this, Mr. Fuji and the salt? I wanted to ask you about the salt. What's that?
Yeah, he used to, a lot of the Japanese wrestlers used to carry salt as the ceremonial thing, like you do in sumo, where you throw the salt on the ring as a purification rite,
yes,
I think it is.
Okay.
So they always used to use it that he would have salt that he would throw in
wrestlers'
eyes.
This man from Hawaii.
Yeah, there's a strange fact about this match which has come up recently in the last year, which is all seven people who are involved in this match are involved in a case which is suing the WWE. It's a suit that was filed in Connecticut where 53 former wrestlers, many of whom had WWE experience, they've said that the company didn't publicise a link between the time they spent in the ring and the increased likelihood of them getting CTE, which is a progressive degenerative brain disease.
Right.
It was shown in some of the autopsies of Chris Benoit and Andrew Martin, who was a wrestler called Test, who died, I think, of steroid abuse. And there have been so few wrestlers who they've been able to analyse the brains of, certainly of modern times, that this notable CTE thing, degeneration that both of them had, they've begun saying, right, this is a thing that's unique to contact sports. Yeah. It's happened in American
NFL.
Football, NFL. And so there's this big class action against WWE.
Now,
the WWE have always said that this class action is not, you know, it has no validity. They've said that the chap who brings the case, who's an attorney,
he's got a lot of them, hasn't he?
Yeah. Cases against WWE for all manner of things. The rulings so far have generally favoured WWE. There are also a number of people on this who have wrestled for, you know, 30 years and spent 2 years in WWE, who are now saying there's this. So it's an untested thing, but this is the reason all seven of these people, because the family of Mr. Fuji have also joined the class action.
Yes.
All seven of these people, with the exception of Mr. Fuji, have been kept out of the Hall of Fame as a result.
Oh,
so no demolition in the Hall of Fame,
right.
No powers of pain. Mr. Fuji is there. He went in before his death. Post-death, he's been added to this
class action.
So it's a sad thing in a way, because they will become a sort of missing generation, I think. The problem is, if you sue WWE in what's seen as being a spurious case, they aren't going to be able to, you know, greet you with open arms.
I mean, I guess if you sue them for any reason, they would not be adding to the Hall of Fame.
No, they're not over keen. They're not over keen. Let's go away from the boring legal stuff.
Yeah.
Go into the exciting world of murders.
Well, Macho Man Randy Savage. There's a VT of Macho Man Randy Savage before
That's
we get to
true.
The murders.
Yeah.
In real life, a possessive, abusive husband. There's a clip of him in his dressing room smashing the shit out of the dressing room and screaming.
Yeah.
That didn't look nice.
No.
That didn't look good. That didn't look great, did it?
All through this, whenever you see Randy Savage, you go, good God, he's really got this character nailed. He's so dedicated to it. He's really sort of frightening and wired and jittery. And then you begin going, maybe the times when he's not like this is the act. Because this is pretty convincing. It's he is great. That's constant staring. He moves his head like a bird all the time. It's like flicking it. It's slightly freaks me out.
Jeez.
And then we get to the match, ninth match, so we're about halfway through.
It's Dino Bravo.
With Frenchie Martin.
Frenchie Martin.
Versus...
Frenchie Martin's back! Frenchie Martin's back! Frenchie Martin's back!
And he's still doing nothing. And Rugged, versus Rugged Ronnie Garvin.
Yeah. Ronnie Garvin sounds like a man who sells fish in a pub.
Well,
is Ronnie Garvin in?
Yeah, wrong
or
Garvin.
Or some place.
He came from the NWA in 87. He was having matches with Ric Flair. He'd won the NWA championship.
Okay.
Bit of a surprise. He was always a journeyman wrestler, but he never manages to replicate that success. They bring him into WWE, really stop NWA having him, and he's put with Dino Bravo and Greg Valentine, really boring guys. He's not a great exciting wrestler. This match is a boring, but before it gets boring, they bring in Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah, and that point, do you know when I'm on this podcast because I don't know anything about wrestling, you know, a fair whack. It kind of reminded me of that kind of mania. Do you remember when the Hardy Boys came back last year?
Yes.
And there was that... who are the fellas that kind of get the crowd going?
The New Day.
New Day. And there's that kind of palpable kind of 3 seconds after the guy with the cowboy hat takes his cowboy hat off, and then the logos appear.
Yeah.
And then the Hardy Boys appear.
Yeah.
And it's like... all of the men of a certain age go, oh, God, I'm losing my fucking mind! I'm so excited! And when Jimmy Snuka rocks up, it's kind of like everyone getting excited just kind of reminds me of why these events are fun, because nobody knows what's going to happen next.
No.
And it's almost the introduction of these wrestlers are more exciting than actually what goes on.
100%. You can look at that WrestleMania where they bring the Hardy Boys back, where everyone loses their shit.
Yeah, incredible.
Look at them now. I mean, you know, what is it? Just a year on? I mean, they're lost in the shuffle.
It's mad, isn't it?
Everyone likes the return in wrestling, but then the reality of having to watch them day in, day out, you know, take it or leave it.
He's been 10 years older than he was last time.
This is a strange match because you're watching, within it, you've got a man who murdered someone, a man who was murdered, and Rugged Ronnie Garvin.
Really?
Yeah.
Hang on. So Dino Bravo was murdered?
He was, yeah. He was killed in 1993.
Right.
He was shot a number of times, I think 17 times, when he was sitting watching hockey at his home in Quebec.
Right.
At this time, he's left the WWF, and it was within a year, he's dead. He was supposed to be involved with the illegal cigarette smuggling trade.
That's right, yes.
They've got funny sort of border payments.
Okay.
So you can smuggle them in. And he was believed to have been part of that. Part of the reason he was so successful at it, according to Rick Martel, who is also on this WrestleMania, was that he was also from Quebec, was that because he was a former WWF star, he was quite famous, and so people were excited to meet him and then buy illegal cigarettes off him.
Ah.
You know, so he was running this thing. The problem is...
Illegal cigarettes, such an unsexy product, isn't it?
It is.
Not if it was like bootlegging hooch or
The funny thing is, the cigarette tax, I once looked at this about how much it is, and you go, I can understand why Dino was doing this.
Right,
you know,
okay.
It's a huge amount of money to be made. I should stress, if I ever go to America and Canada again, I'm not saying I'm going to be bootlegging cigarettes.
He might be.
I could do. And
why didn't they have a character or a tag team, the Martel Cartel?
You are still... You are becoming an excellent booker. It's very exciting. So Dino Bravo, basically, because he was using his fame and people were keen to sort of, you know, they were happier to deal with him than shadowy people they'd not heard of.
Okay.
Apparently he was encroaching on some territory that was run by the Mafia.
Wow.
And that was the thing that led to his murder.
I mean, you got to go somewhere to be shot by someone, innit?
Yeah, haven't you? Well, I hope so.
Easy. The things I've done.
Yeah. I hope it wasn't over this match.
Dino Bravo could do with a forking up, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
He looks like a sausage that's just about to burst.
He does.
It's like if you were cooking sausages and there was a sausage at the point had Dino Bravo's skin.
Yeah.
It's so taut.
Really
like
is.
Like it's going to pop at any moment. Give it a forking.
The weirdest thing is he's there until about 92, possibly early 93. Every year he gets bigger. He just swells like a boil.
It's horrible.
It's so... He's
actually painful to look at.
It is. He looks like a sort of man rhino. makes me feel... Ew.
Gorilla at one point says the crowd are in awe. They're not in awe, Gorilla. They're bored out of their fucking heads.
They really are. And this is...
The Garmin stomp at the end is probably the worst thing I've seen in wrestling inside the ring. I think this run of watching these wrestlers.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
He does a rubbish stamp and he does like a 360 round the body.
Yeah, so he chooses
absolute dog shit.
Yep, knee to ankle to, again, the basic thing about wrestling, and this is where you see the changes, is it's always got to look like people are trying to win a fight. And some of the things they're using in this, if you were in a fight and you tried, someone would break your face. So it's always a shame when you see silly moves like that. Funnily, Randy Orton started using the Garvin stomp for a little while, but doing it with a bit more sort of intensity, and it didn't not work, but it wasn't very good.
Well, it wasn't. Didn't everybody laugh at The Rock when he started? Is it the People's Elbow?
Yes.
Like, that was a bit of a hokey kind of stupid move, but
some would say, had Ronnie Garvin had 10% of the charisma of The Rock, that move would have been the most exciting thing you've ever seen. But, I mean, he didn't, so.
He had a lot of fish to sell. The illegal fish industry.
10th match, we get the Brainbusters versus Strikeforce. The Brainbusters are Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, two of the greatest wrestlers of the
80s. We've spoken about Arn Anderson.
Yeah.
Or have we? I can't remember, but I remember watching some wrestling and Arn Anderson is one of my favourites because he looks like a dad.
Yes, this is the first WrestleMania that Arn Anderson's in.
Right.
As I recall.
Yes.
So it will be the first time. Who knows? We've been all over.
I like him a lot because he looks like a friendly dad. I think he's still alive. He's still alive.
He is, yeah. He's working as a road agent for WWE because he is just one of those wrestlers who was so good. He was a consummate pro. He was in the Four Horsemen with Ric Flair and the four of them with Tully Blanchard and various other fourth members, but they were the sort of the core three. They they could really, really wrestle. And they're just great to watch.
Yeah.
They have that thing of that it looks, everything they do makes it look like they're trying to win.
Yeah.
They're trying to hurt someone. It's really, really good. I met Arn Anderson in 1991.
Yes.
Okay. I went to see WCW at Wembley Arena, their first tour. And by a total fluke, we'd got front row seats, me and my friend Russell. And we were sitting there and I brought a sign and it said he was doing a gimmick at the time about being a real man. And I had a sign and it said, real men aren't bald on, right? I held it up. And he came over and he saw it and he looked at it and he sort of looked away and then he came straight back to me and he just went, you're a little motherfucker. I was really shocked. I was like, oh, it's like a cartoon character that's turned around and suddenly gone, hey kids, go fuck yourself, right? Horrible. I was really, really upset. They tapped me on the shoulder, like an American guy, and he said, oh, can we just take a photo of this for WCW magazine? I went, sure, and I was holding up, I was thinking, if he finds out if this appears in the magazine, he's gonna be like, right, what did I fucking say? What are you doing in Hatch End on? I've come down here on my huge wrestler salary you believe I have. It's probably about £3 million a year that you think I've got. And I have come here because I am going to kill you. Funnily, the weirdest thing about it is Arn Anderson, he looks, and he's such a pro and everyone loves him and he looks like your dad and everything. The story about him and his hotel fight with Sid Vicious is insane.
Sid Vicious as in the wrestler Sid Vicious?
The wrestler, right, also known as Sid Justice in WWF.
Right, okay.
But they had a fight in 1993, I think.
Mm.
It is horrific. It's in a hotel in Blackburn. And
Blackburn, Lancashire. Wow.
You know that the Beatles song in how many, what's it? The one that goes, how many holes does it fit to fill the Albert Hall?
Yeah.
And they got Blackburn, Lancashire as well.
Yeah.
They were in Blackburn, Lancashire, and Sid Vicious and Arn Anderson put so many holes in each other with a pair of scissors. It's so disgusting. I'm going to save that for the Sid Vicious episode, the Sid Justice one, which will be WrestleMania 13,
right,
where he's in the worst main event of all time, and that will make us feel happier because we'll hear a story about him being stabbed.
Yay! Well, let's do that then.
Woo! What's after that? Oh, Christ almighty. Oh yes, Tully Blanchard, who is Arn's partner.
Yes.
They're doing really well in WWF. They're given the tag belts. They didn't have a gimmick. They were just great.
Mm.
And then Tully failed a cocaine test, and so they went back to WCW, but then they wouldn't take him in there because he'd failed the cocaine test, and he pretty much disappeared after the sort of... In the middle of his heyday. It's really sad.
That seems very strange,
isn't
it?
I think he later became a pastor, as a lot of sort of retired wrestlers do.
It's just strange that, I mean, bearing in mind that all of the other drugs they can test for.
Yeah.
They don't seem quite as on it. I don't know.
No, absolutely. Really weird. And they break up Strikeforce here, which is Rick Martel and Tito Santana.
Mm.
And this was a feud that seemed to go on for years and years. Rick Martel, he was always a good guy. Turned out he was a really, really good bad guy as well.
Yeah.
You've got four guys in the ring here who are really, really talented. I could have happily watched them do 25 minutes and get rid of everything else around it.
Well, Rick Martel kind of does a promo afterwards, doesn't he? Or he talks about what just happened in the thing. And it was I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, he comes across better than most of the people you've seen speaking. There's a funny thing about how the interviews have got a lot better. People are better. Even Hogan's better in this one.
Yeah.
It seems like...
I mean the promo he cuts isn't quite as crazy-eyed.
Yeah, absolutely. He can follow a train of thought that isn't just like shouting at someone in a bar. It was much... It has got better, but Rick Martel does a really good job there. And then we get a really bad job of talking, which is the Roddy Piper segment.
It goes on for such a long time, Mark. It is endless, and it's like... Flabby. You could lose 10 minutes of that and you wouldn't notice. Really wouldn't notice.
I was thinking it must be about the same length as like an episode of Inside Number 9. And you sit there and watch it and nothing happens. You're building up to Roddy Piper spraying Morton Downey Jr., the talk show host, with a fire extinguisher because he's smoking. It takes me that long to say it. It takes them months.
Ages.
To get through it.
Because the brother love guy, he's wearing a... He pretends to be Roddy Piper, doesn't he, at the start?
Yeah.
And he's got, like, a big red face.
A southern evangelist character.
Right.
Who is a manager.
Yes, okay. So he comes on and he takes the mick out of Roddy Piper. He does, like, a kind of... Like, because he... Was it a parody of Roddy Piper's TV show, kind of his interview?
He has a thing called Piper's Pit. Again, all of this could be cut. And because you don't need it. You just need the Morton Downey thing, who's the big star that presumably you paid to be there.
Well, he was, like, a kind of... like a shock jock, wasn't he? He was kind of like Howard Stern before Howard Stern.
There's
and then
a
Howard Stern,
really good documentary on Netflix about him, which is just, I think it's called something like Motormouth. But he had a, you know, fascinating life. Mm. He was this really interesting guy and also the prototype of Jerry Springer, essentially.
That's right, yeah.
He's so big at this point. And they, you know, they use him probably quite well. They put him with Roddy Piper and Roddy Piper gets the upper hand. Great. Mm. But all this stuff with Brother Love is just, it just doesn't stop.
But I don't understand why Brother Love had to be involved in that particular situation.
No.
They could just be happily just... And they rip his kilt off.
Yeah.
And he's wearing wrestling clothes. And everyone's going, oh, isn't that embarrassing? I'm going, everyone's wearing
isn't
those clothes.
Why aren't you laughing when Dino Bravo and Ruggy Ronnie Garvin are wearing exactly the same thing as Brother Love? Because Roddy Piper rips the kilt off and he's got wrestling trunks on and he's holding his hands over it like he's nude. But you're wearing essentially the work outfit. What? It didn't make any sense. The only bit I like in the Brother Love thing is Brother Love says, well, you're Scotch. And Roddy Piper becomes the first American in history to know the difference between Scotch
and
the drink
Scottish.
And being Scottish. In a joke that is absolutely mystifying to the entire room. Nobody gets it. There's no reaction to it.
But Martin Downey Jr., he's a big smoker. And he's like this. I think he was part of like some kind of smoking league.
Yeah.
He dies of lung cancer eventually.
Yeah.
And he basically complains that I had spawned a generation of kids thinking it was cool to smoke a cigarette. Mm. No one thinks you're cool.
No.
No kid goes, God, you're cool.
Stop reviewing
that
yourself.
45-year-old man with one lung.
Looks like he stinks. he actually does a better job on the mic than Piper because he knows not to keep going.
Yeah.
He just says less stuff and it's more effective. And oh, my God. And then, just when you're finally over, they recap the fucker. I couldn't believe it. I was so like, we get it. We've seen it. I've endured it. I don't want to relive it. Move on.
To a trailer for the film No Holds Barred with Hulk Hogan.
So exciting. Are you ready for a whole new Hulk Hogan, it says, as a woman in suspenders comes over.
And he gives her a kind of a comely look, doesn't he? He gives her a kind of like, oh, how's this going to turn?
Absolutely vomit-inducing. Yeah,
I remember my dad was a big fan of the TV show Dream On back in the 90s. Uh-huh. And it was like, it was a comedy show, but it was a bit adult in that you saw some knockers every now and again.
Yeah.
And tits and comedy to a younger audience is just a bit... Ugh.
Yeah.
I didn't need to be adult.
What am I supposed to be feeling here?
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
Oh, this is funny. Horny.
It's weird. I've never understood why those two things got together. I remember Spike Milligan doing a TV show.
And getting his knockers out.
Well, there was like loads of like busty babes with their boobs out on like BBC Two or Channel or whatever it was. And it was just like, that was unnecessary. I remember my mum, she wouldn't let me watch Police Academy because that had boobs in it. And I was like, how dare you, mum? You allowed me, and in fact recommended, the Spike Milligan, very late Spike Milligan, kind of months before he died, Spike Milligan show. And check out this scene. Showed me mum and me gran and all those two look giving each other right dirty looks. Who's responsible for this? They said
I love the fact that you're essentially a child of dial-up internet. And your mum was going, you are not watching Police Academy.
No,
because
the
there
things,
are boobs there.
The things I've seen.
Go up to your bedroom and play with that magic box that takes you onto the dark web. I will do, ma'am. Hulk Hogan is rip in No Holds Barred. The trailer makes no sense.
No.
The film itself is... well worth watching.
Really, though?
No.
No.
No, it's absolutely appalling. I'd say it's Hogan's second best film after Mr. Nanny.
I like Mr. Nanny.
It beats Suburban Commando, but that is an argument that I don't care to have. it's not for me.
Yeah, they did like a... Weirdly, I think, from what I read from its Wikipedia page... they did a pay-per-view match called No Holds Barred.
They did.
And they included, for the price of the pay-per-view, a screening of the film later that year, which is fascinating.
It is.
What a clever thing to do, though. Like, sort of go, look, you get a film as well.
Yeah. I remember really, really, really...
You get 3 hours of the Brother Love shot.
I remember, actually, I mean, I was what, 13 when this came out.
Right.
And I was just getting into wrestling, and I remember thinking... I want to see this film so badly.
Yeah.
And I was looking at seeing like what was on the Harrow Odeon, and it would never be No Holds Barred. And you realise, in retrospect, it's just this really crappy, homemade, WWF-financed film starring Hogan to try and launch him. And it's all that thing of it's tied up in pay-per-views, but they'll give a match as well to give a bit of added value.
Yeah.
And it's just... appalling dog shit.
But people can smell bullshit. That's the difference, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, it was bad. The guy who's a wrestler, a guy called Tom Lister, he was cast as Zeus. Mm. He was a really big guy, and he looked like a wrestler, but wasn't a wrestler. And then they made him a wrestler, but he wasn't a wrestler. So he really had he'd struggled doing it. But he was, you know, he was a thrilling look.
Robert Swenson was another character in that film. Mm-hmm. Again, from his Wikipedia, he played Bane in Batman and Robin. I think his name was something Swenson.
Jeep Swenson.
Jeep Swenson. Mm. He died of heart failure at 40.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, Davey Boy Smith and James Caan gave eulogies at his funeral, which was followed by a final measure of his biceps and cremation.
Good God!
A final measure of his biceps!
I've not heard that one.
Isn't that magical?
Good Lord!
I mean, it does say citation needed, but I'd like to think that's correct.
Oh, good.
Final.
After you get this thing, you get an embarrassment of riches. You had this terrible Morton Downey Jr. thing. You get this awful bit of No Holds Barred. And then Sean Mooney does an interview with Donald Trump.
Yes. Donald Trump gives the attendance numbers.
Yes, he does.
I wouldn't trust him.
He starts doing that thing, which you've never noticed until he became president, where he just says, it's fantastic, it's beautiful,
fantastic,
wonderful.
Beautiful, yeah.
He does that. And then he'll often throw in a third one that isn't related. Mm. So they go, oh, so what do you make of the attendance? And he goes, well, it's been fantastic, unbelievable. The traffic, he says, and it's just a weird yes. thing to notice the things he does now. He was always
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, and also when the interviewer, I forget his name now, but he gets his name, he stumbles on his name a little bit. Oh, yeah. His eyes boring the side of his
doesn't
head, doesn't
he? It's a really weird, horrible man thing he does, which I think is a powerful man
power
thing,
move, yeah.
where he refuses to let his eyes off him the entire time.
Yes.
He doesn't look away to look at the camera or the crowd. He's just peering at him, and you can see the interviewer slightly wilting under it.
Mm.
What are you doing?
Yeah, very
Stop
rich
looking
man.
At me. Creepy.
Oh. And then Jesse Ventura gets upset about Hulk Hogan.
Hollywood is my domain.
That's so weird. Oh. Was Hollywood his domain?
He's been in Predator.
Predator was in Predator. Could you pick him out of a lineup?
If they could have got Predators to wrestle Hogan at this WrestleMania, I'd have watched that.
Yeah, definitely.
It's I mean, Jesse always had this big thing about I'm Mr. Hollywood because he was in Predator. It wasn't in a huge amount after that. But again, this is the problem is Jesse Ventura was never going to wrestle again.
Yes,
due to his sort of back injuries.
Right,
and he does the best promo in the whole thing.
Mm.
And you go, wouldn't it be good to see him and Hogan in the ring?
Yeah,
you know. I mean, they would have a sort of like rivalry later when Jesse tried to start a union and Hulk Hogan immediately told Vince McMahon. And that led to Jesse sort of being fired and stopped the wrestlers being unionised.
Yeah, nobody's buying tickets to that though, are they?
No. So that's very much a behind the scenes fight that Jesse lost.
I just realised Gorilla genuinely being pleased with Jesse. And then we move on to Hulk's promo.
Mm.
Less crazy eyes, way more kind of professionalism from Hulk this time around. It's longer, it's better thought
it
out.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Apart from the bit, my favourite bit of this promo is where he goes, "You're not a believer in the demandments, mother." He means to say brother, but he says the demandments, mother. So our next teacher idea should be, "You're not a believer, the demandments, mother." It's like calling your teacher mum or dad, isn't it?
There's something really funny about the WrestleMania 4 one where he is off his fucking box and you go, well, I'm going to make sure, obviously we're going in a different direction. I'm going to ease back on that. I'm going to take my foot off the gas. And you get there and you go, well, now I've lost the ability to do it. I wish I was still having fun.
I wish I was still party Hulk. Yeah.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're not a believer in the demand that's mother, brother.
Match 11, Andre the Giant versus yes. Jake the Snake Roberts with Big John Studd as the referee. Oh, poor Andre.
Poor Andre.
Gorilla says, it's cardiac arrest time when Damien the Snake is around. Looking at Andre, any time can be cardiac arrest time.
Well, Big John Studd, I found out through, again, extensive Googling, later this year, will find a lump that will eventually kill him.
Really?
And it was apparently reportedly down to his human growth hormone use.
Yes.
It will grow things.
It will grow things.
It will grow things.
He was, again, one of those guys who... He was such a big star for so long. Mm. He was such a good big man. He was a really sort of
I enjoyed him last time we saw him in WrestleMania.
There's something about him. I like the fact he's not very showbiz.
No.
He just looks a bit like he's a genuine tough guy who's been brought along, and he's always sort of a bit unsure about all the razzle-dazzle.
He looks like a henchman in a film, an action film, sort of thing. Bring the big guy out.
Yeah, or like in like Long Good Friday, Bob Hoskins would have, you know, John Studd behind him.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd be smoking, Rothmans.
Studd is not across things, because somebody removes the turnbuckle pad mark.
They do right at the start.
They need to sort that out.
They do. It's basically... It's a referee's job. And John, I know you tried, but we're very disappointed. We will not be paying you.
As a referee, you check. As a football referee, you check the goal nets.
Yeah.
You go over to each goal nets, you wave at the keeper, say, is the keeper on my left okay? Is the keeper on the left? Well, then we can begin.
Has anyone ever removed a goal before the match started?
Exactly.
And then they've sort of like scored, but you've gone, well, the goal's gone.
Don't ask Jesse how many turnbucks there's supposed to be, because he doesn't know. Well, at least nine. At least nine have to be there.
Between 9 and 16. Oh, man. And this match, I feel for Andre here, because the room is dead.
Yeah, that's...
Absolutely dead.
So weird, isn't it?
Can't get any atmosphere, and so it's strange. Just...
But that said, you can kind of hear, with the microphones, you can hear his shouts, which makes him a bit more frightening. And I think if I'd heard that in the previous WrestleManias, I'd be more scared of Andre the Giant. I was like, oh, he really goes... Like
does
that.
He?
And I like his chops as well. I like his big old mutton chops.
I just like him. There's a bit where the Million Dollar Man steals the snake, and then Jake goes and gets it, and he just throws it in the ring.
Mm.
And Andre... gets out of that ring as slowly as is humanly possible while still looking like you're trying to move somewhere.
Well, his face does a lot of walking.
Yes.
His face does a lot of walking before his body actually allows him to...
Doesn't it?
Kind of, yeah. It's like watching a granny run for a bus. They've not done it in years. They've not done it in ages, but they're going to have a go.
Yeah,
it's... I'm going faster than usual.
Although, weirdly, I'm still moving at the same speed
as
backwards, ever. Yeah, that was... it's just a bit... It's a bit sad to watch. You're also looking at huge stars there. I think it's, you know, it's a shame that they didn't, you know... what can you do?
Well,
you're working with Andre. You got to work with what he gives you, really.
And then they did. And then they did a little crowd interview. I was like, "Who's the best?" And the bloke was going, "Jake's the best. Jake's the best." And this guy's about, I'd say, about at least 25, probably cracking for 30. He's got a little tash, and I sort of think he's got to be of an age now, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He must look back at that and go, that was my one TV, that was my 15 minutes.
He's sitting there
going, Jake's the best! Jake's the best! Jake's the best!
And there's retirement home. Jake's the best. Jake's the best. Jake. Man.
He wasn't the best.
They really sort of go, let's take a view at the cheap seats, and they go to the back of the thing.
Mm.
And the commentators are going, whoa, you're not going to see anything from there. Like, Jesus Christ, guys.
That's one of the smaller rooms they've wrestled in as well.
Yeah,
which is weird.
I saw at Wembley Stadium, I can tell you, That looked like it was fucking next, like in the robe in front of you. I mean, Jesus, yeah. I can't even find the words, Pete, because I feel like I've been ripped off in 1992.
Oh, I want
my money back.
And get screen. And back then, screens weren't a big thing. That's the thing.
Not at all.
So nowadays, you can sort of see everything. Everything's on screen, and also wrestlers present to camera quite a lot, so you can kind of know.
Yeah, that must have been crap. Looking that, you're just seeing two ants moving slightly. Mm, you know,
huge.
Oh God,
huge.
You get a little Sensational Sherry doing an interview, which is...
Again, what was this? Because she turns up...
Yep.
Like, she's not great at cutting a promo. What's she cutting a promo for? She's not going to do anything.
No.
If she was good in the ring, I'd sort of go, oh, well, fair dues. Or if she was even in the ring, I'd go, well, she had to do that promo because she was in the ring later on.
Yeah.
She's not in the ring later on.
No, this just sort of adds to the whole thing about this Rockin' Robin Sherry thing should have been happening. It wasn't. And that makes me think someone pulled out. I can't confirm that. But, I mean, again, just... we could have done without that. This is already going long.
Yeah.
You know? And then we get, oh, God, the Hart Foundation versus Greg Valentine and Honky Tonk Man with Jimmy Hart. Hart Foundation are great. Honky Tonk and Greg Valentine are not great. I was thinking about this. He's always been a bad guy, the Honky Tonk Man. He's dressed as Elvis. And, I mean, Elvis was dead by this point.
Mm.
I think he died in about, what, 79, 80, something like that. And I was thinking, if you work it back, it's like there being a wrestler today who's middle-aged, dressed as... like Kurt Cobain.
Yeah,
and everyone, when he comes out, they're going, boo, kill yourself. Really strange. Really strange
that how
that,
odd,
sort of,
yeah.
that time telescoping works.
People love Elvis.
Yeah.
Like, name someone who actually hates Elvis.
The Honky Tonk Man.
The Honky Tonk Man hates
and
Elvis.
And he hates him because he's better than Elvis, is his basic thing. I mean, he's the only person. But the crowd are like, oh, here he comes, that crappy Elvis, you know. What?
Well, so maybe it is like it's not Elvis he's playing. I guess he's playing an Elvis impersonator, and they're by their very nature a bit shit. So like maybe
should be someone who's like an Adele personator now, so we could sort of go, can lightning strike twice? Will this happen again? Oh, fucking Adele!
Boo, Lily Allen.
Boo!
Boo!
We love
Kate
Nash. Yeah,
she was in a wrestling program, wasn't she?
She's been doing,
she
been doing Glow.
Glow,
yeah.
Wasn't she?
Yeah, which is very good. The original Glow, unwatchable.
Jimmy Hart's back.
Yeah,
I think he might be the hardest working man in these WrestleManias. He seems to be involved in every last bloody scene.
He really does. Same. He does work very hard. He's also sort of not needed in quite a lot of them. but God bless him.
Yeah.
I went to a WrestleMania once, and he was the first person I saw backstage.
Magical.
And he didn't even appear on the WrestleMania. So he's...
he just went along for a ride.
20 years later, he's still there. You want me to do anything? No, we'll be all right. Well, I'll just hang around. Sure, you do that.
That'd I brought
be,
my tie.
That'll be brilliant, yeah. There's a bit of commentary where they go, I'm really excited, you know what's coming next? And I thought, oh, finally there. And they go, it's the Intercontinental. No!
Because they give away belts quite a lot, and I don't understand Intercontinental. They have different kind of little belts in the middle of them. And I'm like, surely there's one belt. It's like the world. If they gave away, like... you know, European Cups in the middle of the World Cup. I mean, like, this isn't right.
In the old days, because they used to do lots more house shows,
right,
which were untelevised, sort of, you know, you go and see 8 matches. What they did, belts used to be really important back in the day. So they created a secondary belt, which was for anyone, but it meant that you could often headline house shows. One lot could do the world title, and the other ones could say, we've got an intercontinental title match.
Yes, okay.
And it was just a way of actually sort of breaking it down. It's a business decision. As years have gone on, house shows are not half as important anymore. And, I mean, they're negligible, to be honest. And the belts don't mean anything.
Right.
But in the old days, belts really did mean something. You know, people were really like, you must be good if you hold that belt, sort of thing.
Okay, right.
People just believed in the power of them a bit more.
So this one is...
Ultimate Warrior versus Rick Rude.
Yeah, Jesse the Body says Ultimate Warrior is a lunatic.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, he will become one, Jesse, don't you worry. He might not be one now, but he will become one.
Jesse is peering into the future. They do a little clip of them doing a pose down from the Royal Rumble, and they, I mean, that is a perfect display of how chemicals can affect the human body, isn't it? They are absolutely bizarre looking. Rick Rude's really, really good in this. Again, you know, he does a great introduction. They show a woman who is really genuinely like, oh my God, this guy is so lovely.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, because they did that quite a lot with him in the last one, and they're sort of like, oh, these women are really excited and stuff. And like it was the blonde lady, wasn't it? Sort of like really looking.
And it's that bizarre thing of like, you know, in the 80s, there probably wasn't that much stuff for women that was, like, directed towards them. It was going, this is, you know, you know, lustful. You'll enjoy this.
Yeah, well, when did, like, the Loverboys or the Chippendales and stuff?
I don't think it's far off this. I think it's a couple of years after.
He'd get in. He'd walk in. He'd bloody walk in.
He'd walk in. He'd knock out the first one with an open-handed slap. And then he'd do his dance, and it'd be amazing. This is, he was one of the few wrestlers who could get something out of the Ultimate Warrior.
Right.
And the other ones being sort of Mr. Perfect was usually quite good with him. Mm. Randy Savage always had good stuff with him. And as we'll see next WrestleMania, on one occasion, sort of miraculously, Hulk Hogan. But this is one of the Warrior's best matches. I mean, Rude is so good in it. He's working so hard. They do a nice pin where Bobby Heenan holds the foot down,
doing a good
manager's job. and then Warrior lifts Bobby Heenan over his head, drops him, and seriously hurts him.
Now, he fell very uncomfortably on this one. And I wondered whether he hurt himself because he sort of... It looks like he jars his knee, possibly leg. And I was like... He's an old gentleman. He did not land properly on that one.
Heenan couldn't wrestle as much as he wanted because he had really, really bad neck issues from when he was an active wrestler.
Okay.
So he was a great manager, but he didn't really like taking bumps. With Warrior, when he lifts him over his head, he basically should have given him some kind of signal
that he was about to drop it up
and then he's going to drop him down.
Yeah.
So Heenan can make sure he lands flat.
Mm.
Well, there's nothing. And so he's actually talked about this before, about Warrior just lifting him up and then really unprofessionally just tipping him over.
Yeah.
And so Heenan doesn't have a chance to do anything, and he lands really, really badly. At least he hasn't got a match coming up in a couple of fucking minutes. I mean, bad luck, Bobby Heenan.
It's only like two matches away, isn't it?
One match.
Really bad. I mean, it's the second worst thing next to Rick Rude having the Warrior on his pants.
Yeah.
That I saw in the ring that match, so.
Yeah, Rude's great, and, you know, Warrior is fine in this.
Still so sexy. When does Rude start to lose his physique? Because he is.
Well, he never does. He never does, because age and old father time never get a chance to take it from him. I mean, he's dead at 41, 42.
Right.
You know, and he was on the verge of a comeback when he died.
Is that right?
Yeah. Which, the two things, having a massive enlarged heart and being on the verge of a comeback and being in physical shape may not have been unrelated.
Right,
he could well have been taking more steroids than he was taking, you know, at some points to bulk up.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, what a sad loss. He seemed like a dude.
Yeah, I really like him. One of my... Because we go on this journey, and I'm sort of experiencing what I would be experiencing as an 8-year-old, you know, watching this stuff. So, like, I have, you know, I really like the Junkyard Dog.
Yeah.
And I really like Ravishing Rude.
Yeah.
And I really like the bloke who looks like a dad. And so, it's things like that make me go, I really like this person.
There's a really weird thing about wrestling where it doesn't matter how old you are, you can tell what's good and what's bad.
Yeah.
And so the people I watch now who I like when I was younger, I still go, I like you, you're good.
Yeah.
The ones that as a kid I thought, this guy's crap. You watch them and you go, I was absolutely right. I'm not saying we should be putting an 8-year-old in charge of a major wrestling company, but it would be funny.
Let me have a crack first. That's all I'm saying.
You're doing very well, I think. You know, I'm excited to see it.
Rooster would not be happening on my fucking watch. The worst fucking gimmick. The dullest gimmick.
Oh.
How did he get second last match?
It's the saddest thing, this story. It really is. He doesn't die.
Right. I wish he bloody would.
I say that like it doesn't happen very often. I mean, it happens to every third person. But Terry Taylor is the guy who is the Red Rooster.
Right.
He was basically in Mid-South. He was a young wrestler. People were calling him the new Ric Flair. He was fantastic. He was good on the mic. He was handsome. But what he was a little bit smaller than Hulk Hogan. So when they brought him in, they Owen Harted him. They blue blazed him.
Right.
They went, you're too small. You'll never be a hit. We're going to give you this gimmick and it'll be funny for the kids. So they made him the Red Rooster.
Oh, God.
When he has to say, at one point, he's talking about fighting Bobby Heenan. Again, your first match as well, you're fighting a sort of 65-year-old man.
And you have to get at least 6 rooster puns
in
and do an impression of a rooster, which he doesn't throw himself into. And I wouldn't either, Rooster.
He goes, when I beat you, Bobby Heenan, it'll be a great day in the barnyard. And everyone will go, ooh, aroo, aroo. I mean, mate. No, I think it's going to be good. I think they're really going to treat me well. What are they giving you? You're going to be a really handsome businessman? No. They've sent through this fax of a chicken.
Of a drawing of if I spike up the middle centimetre of my hair.
Yeah, like a...
And dye it red, pillar box red.
Like a coxcomb. What's a coxcomb? if the internet existed, we could do, you know, we don't have it, so, but I don't know what a coxcomb is, but we're going to do that. And this is going to make you rich, is it, and famous? No. This will literally kill my promising career. Stone fucking dead.
Everyone talks about CM Punk and who's the boss man of WWE? I can't forget his bloody name.
Vince McMahon.
And CM Punk doing like a kind of, oh, was it real, was it not real kind of speech or whatever the shit it was. I don't really. I half listen to these bloody interviews and I'm like, I don't know what it is.
It's known as the pipe bomb promo.
The pipe bomb promo. And then he goes back and instead of admonishing him, instead of having a big old go at CM Punk, he goes, I smell money.
Yeah.
Right. This is the same person who was involved in the genesis of the rooster.
Yeah.
So lightning doesn't strike twice.
Pete, you've made a cardinal error here. What you've done is you've gone, Vince McMahon was trying to make money, right? Vince McMahon was trying to amuse himself by taking someone who everyone had said, he's so great, he's so brilliant, and him going, watch me squash this. It's madness. It's madness. Terry Taylor never, ever recovered. He was the Red Rooster for about a year.
Right.
He never, ever recovered after it. His career never got any higher than the middle because this thing hung like a millstone around his neck. It is... You see the stuff that he was doing in the 80s before this. He is phenomenal.
Isn't it a lesson to any wrestlers? Don't sign your contract until you've seen the character.
Yep.
Until you've seen the fucking gimmick.
I think as well, you know, the thing is, you know, the WWF was so big at that time that they seemed like they could do no wrong.
Yeah.
And you were going to be part of it and it was going to be a bit of a circus and, you know, but the reality is you'd come out of it with a lot of money.
Yeah. Didn't
absolutely not
did
true.
Did not happen.
Absolutely not true. And someone like him, it's so sad, again, what could have been.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, they put him in there with a 60-year-old man. He beats him quickly and, you know...
He has to.
Oh, he's like, God.
He needs to... Bobby the Brain Heenan needs to run back to get himself lathered in some kind of pink.
Absolutely. And then they have the Brooklyn Brawler beat up the Red Rooster. And the Brooklyn Brawler is a man who's never won a match. He's enhancement talent.
Really?
So you're beaten up by... literally the worst guy on the roster until that moment when it becomes you.
I quite liked his look. Hello. Yeah. Why have we never seen this guy before?
Yeah. Enhancement talent. Yeah. He's he popped up on one of these Raw 25th anniversary things the other day. Still looks good.
Yeah.
Still good at going still on. He looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
One of the few wrestlers from the 80s who's still going, alive, able to work with WWE. Who'd have thought it would come down to him that everybody else would die and he'd be the last man standing. Amazing. Good on him. We actually skipped out a match. And
who
could blame us? But it's Bad News Brown versus Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Mm.
As Bad News comes to the ring, someone reaches out to touch his head.
And he sort of he swerves.
He swerves.
It was really good.
Imagine trying him. It was, I see him walking down the street. Imagine
doing it in real life.
Imagine.
Oh. You would instantly turn it into a gas of blood. like a big cloud of blood.
Why can't I see anymore? The last thing I remember is I touched Bad News Brown's head in public. And then, oh, what's this wet stuff on my chest, you know? Ah, oh, why can I see my own... Oh, my, he's knocked... You know, imagine just touching that man's head. Amazing.
That kid, I mean, that kid, it's a kid. Mm. He will grow up and he will be the one man who managed to land, or nearly land a hit on Banyan's Brown.
This match, I mean, if you'd never actually done wrestling training and you'd only watched it a few times and someone said, can you go out and do this match? You could go, yeah. No problem. And it's just like kick, punch. You know when you used to get crappy wrestling games on the Game Boy?
And when you didn't know any of the moves, you'd just be punching and kicking and punching and kicking.
You just keep walking over. And sometimes you could win just by doing the kick over and over again.
Yeah.
And then you step back and then you kick. I mean, it's like that. It's like watching that.
And the game will go for ages because you didn't know how to pin.
Yeah.
And just be like, oh, endless. Yeah. Like, he's got no energy bar left, but I don't know how really how
this
to do
one
this.
That ends in a double DQ as well, which is like when you'd have to keep doing it until the time limit ran out.
Yeah.
But I mean, this, I think the double DQ is because it's just so boring. They just sort of like, this needs to stop. It's so bad. This is, matches like this make me feel a bit annoyed because I don't understand why you're not working harder.
Yeah.
You know? Bad news.
But maybe you were told not to do anything.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Bad News gets his desserts in the next WrestleMania, I believe.
Yes, he does. He does. He does.
Just it. A racist, like, emotional assault.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That was something. If you Google Roddy Piper and WrestleMania, comes up, and you cannot help but click.
No.
What the fuck is going on there, Roddy?
Absolutely. But the other thing I look
fucking
about this.
Fucking hell.
The sad thing about it is Bad News Brown was good.
Mm.
And every WrestleMania match we've seen him in has been crap and he's been really poor and he's no better in the Roddy Piper one
right
and it's not necessarily his fault, but there's definitely something about him that he's in a lot of bad matches, and the common denominator on that is Bad News Brown.
Yeah.
Bad News Brown and WrestleMania, they go together like Roddy Piper and not blacking up at WrestleMania 6. Oh, such a bad mistake.
You didn't black up, you half blacked up. have some respect for the craft. Miss Elizabeth looks tired in this start of this match. She looks exhausted.
This is like one of those interviews. She gives a quick interview and it's like someone asking for a kidnapped child to be returned. She's so doe-eyed and, oh my Lord. She is good. She was unlike anyone in wrestling. And actually, there's never really been anyone in wrestling like her, where she was this very professional, well-spoken, polite, decent, very middle-class, elegant lady.
She wasn't, like, badass. She wasn't kind of, like, common. She didn't necessarily have a gimmick. She was just this kind of, like, angelic beauty.
No, she wasn't, she. And there's never been anyone like that again. Yeah. Probably, I think, you couldn't really do that now because it would be boring. People would boo the hell out of anyone doing that. You know, it's a very limited character. But at the time, she was seen as being the most beautiful woman in the world in wrestling. And she had a totally different gimmick for everyone else. Watching it was actually really effective. I thought, you know, I'd always sort of thought of her as just being a useless manager in that she sits there and looks sad and occasionally is in peril. And this, she was really sort of good.
Yeah.
Don't know, it felt like something I was watching from a sort of bad Oscar winner.
But, I mean, as a main event, it was Hogan versus Macho Man. But she was in, like, a neutral corner. I don't know how that even works, but, like, she was, like...
Yeah.
Her kind of thing was, I hope nobody gets hurt.
Yes.
So I was going, oh, you didn't watch Bobby the Brain Heenan get fucking...
They did quite... get dropped.
Yeah.
Fuck Bobby. they do a funny sort of balance here, which is actually sort of quite weirdly grown up, which is they go, her man is Randy Savage, but she's watching him turn to the dark side.
Yeah.
And so she's pleading for Hulk Hogan to sort of help them and pleading to Randy to listen to reason. And again, it's sort of quite complex. It's essentially the plot of The Last Jedi, which was written and performed, if I may say, much more proficiently by three people, two of whom one star it, in 1989. But she does do a really nice job. She actually adds that good frisson on there, because there is sort of this thing about it's bigger than just these two men with a grudge. There's also a woman caught at the heart of it. I thought it was really nice.
Yeah.
You know, and they steer away from sort of going, and if Hogan wins, he gets to marry her. You know, which would make it hokey and terrible. And let me tell you, they still do fucking matches like that these days. It's a good match. I mean, it's actually probably so far, up to this date, it's Hogan's best WrestleMania match.
Right, okay.
He's really good. I mean, Savage is just a great opponent for him.
But Savage is kind of given so much to good WrestleMania matches, it
hasn't
seems.
He?
Like,
yeah.
He just does everything properly. And
he really does.
He makes people look really good.
He just looks like he's doing it in reality. There used to be this big thing in wrestling where people sort of suspected, and it certainly looking sort of pre-1980s, people believed that wrestling might be fake in some way, but they always thought, but the one thing that isn't is the main event. The main event has to be real because it's for the belt. And it's a funny thing in this, you sort of go, God, they ramped up the intensity and it just looks a different class from everything you've seen before. Randy Savage really looks like he's trying to A, win, and B, kill Hulk Hogan. Great. and he does such a good job at it. He's fast. He's just looks demented. And it's, you know, you can't say enough of him. I've always sort of started taking Randy Savage for granted, but it's watching this back, I've gone, he's really, really good. And he's really good in this match. You know, it's a shame for him. He has a year with the belt where everything is, you know, beautiful.
Yeah.
And then you lose, and then he becomes the big bad guy.
Yeah.
So he's still working money. Problem is, as a bad guy, you're working a lot harder, but because you're taking all the bumps, people like Hulk Hogan, who aren't going to be doing all of the stuff that you do.
Right.
But I just thought he was great.
I really enjoyed this final match, because it's one of the things where in the last WrestleMania there was some stinkers, and the main event was a bit of a stinker, but this one, it actually lived up to its billing a little bit.
But then
knowing what, you know, you've told me and what I've seen previously, I knew Macho Man Randy Savage would do a good job.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I, as a kid, I preferred Hogan. I'd watch this and go, this is great, and I think that Savage was not very good. I'm sort of contradicting myself about, you know, who's good when you're young, and you know, he's not. But watching him now, I just think he's brilliant. Mm. It must be funny when you're Andy Savage, when you watch yourself not being number one anymore, and then you watch the match back and go, but I'm loads better than the other guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand
it. I'm making
it.
Him look good. How much money have I just put in that man's pocket because I'm making him look good?
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
It really is. And everyone's going, isn't Hogan good?
Yeah.
And you go, well, do you know what, mate, I could have done that with a mop. You know? He's really good. It ends with Hulk Hogan thanking the man upstairs, which is, I thought, like the roof of the Trump City Plaza. Funny place to have a steroid lab.
Good.
Yes. Zing. Proper joke.
Take that.
Proper joke.
His hair's gone by this point, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's like not even... Does it come back? Does anything happen?
Oh, let me tell you what happens. The bandana years.
Yeah.
He begins wearing bandanas all the time.
Right, because he's got a bandana in the film. Do-rags.
Yeah.
Who had the rest... Hulk Hogan had a restaurant.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't allow people with door rags on his head, on their heads. And it was like, and you're not allowed to wear jeans around your ankles. It was basically an anti-black thing.
Yeah, he didn't,
and it was
yeah.
kind of like...
Anti-gang culture, I think he coached it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like Hulk Hogan's ever said anything that could be construed as being racist.
I know, right?
Man.
Very strange. Very strange.
The other funny thing about this is Randy Savage and the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So Randy Savage, basically he leaves WWE in about 1993. To go to WCW. And Vince McMahon is famous for falling out with people, but ultimately patching things up so they can all make money again.
Yeah.
So Bret Hart has a fist fight with Vince McMahon over being screwed out of the belt and goes to WCW. Yep. Well, Vince eventually brings him back.
Mm.
Hulk Hogan, he leaves, he runs the other company, they make millions, they try and put WWF out of business, he brings him back, they make money.
Mm.
Randy Savage leaves to go to WCW, and Vince McMahon never, ever speaks to him again. He never brings him back.
Amazing.
He nixes everything. Hmm. So there's a thing from a guy called John Laurinaitis, who was on air at one point, but used to be the sort of in charge of talent.
Hmm.
And he did an interview where he said, I actually brought up doing a Macho Man Randy Savage DVD.
Yeah.
He said, and Vince just goes funny. He said he just looks into the distance and then just doesn't mention it, and he's off. So there's always been this thing about why... Out of every single person that Vince McMahon fell out with, why was Randy Savage the only one that he never, ever made it up with? There's lots of different rumours about why it was.
Can I speculate that's something to do with Miss Elizabeth?
You're not a million miles away.
Is that right?
What officially happens, WCW, Randy Savage is a colour commentator. He wants to wrestle more when he's at his tail end of his WWF career in about 92. He's getting older. And Vince McMahon is like, we need to make new stars and things, so why don't you do colour commentary? It won't surprise you to hear that Randy Savage is one of the worst colour commentators of all time, but they keep him on for about a year, and he's unlistenable. he says, I want to wrestle more. I want to wrestle like Shawn Michaels and stuff, but they don't really sort of go to him, yes, you can get back on the road. So he ends up jumping to WCW, where Hogan has gone, and he gets a lot of money for doing so. Mm. And he becomes, you know, he has a lot of wrestling, he has a long career.
Do they sort of have Hulk and him like back as a kind of...
Yeah,
like,
they work as a team, they fight each other. Mm. Randy Savage is fighting all the people he's never fought, like Sting, and Lex Luger and stuff, and so he's still very much he's a lower A-level star, an A-minus. He's still a huge star. He's usually fighting people who are slightly bigger than him, just like he was here. So he leaves, and there's been a couple of things that Vince McMahon apparently never forgave him, because he said they'd done a handshake deal and Savage then left.
Mm.
There was Savage at the time in the early 90s had been a spokesman for Slim Jim, which is a beef jerky.
That's
snack.
Right, yes, I think I've seen an advert with
him. Into a Slim Jim! Can't do the impression anymore. And there was some rumours that because he'd left for WCW, Slim Jim took away their sponsorship and advertising money from WWE to take to WCW.
Okay, right.
So those are some of the things that people have said are you know, possibles. But they've said people have cost Vince McMahon far more money than that. And people have done far more things. Hogan was far more instrumental in trying to put WWE out of business by working at WCW than Randy Savage ever was.
Mm.
So people just don't know what the reason behind it is.
I'd like to think it's Slim Jims. Are they salty? Oh, yeah!
There's a thing they keep coming back to, and it's a rumour that has spread over the last few years.
Right.
So I'm not going to go into what the rumour is. It's very easy to search for it.
Yes, okay.
But it's the thing that people say, this is the reason that Savage and McMahon were never able to come together.
Right.
So he was only Hall of Famed after his death.
Okay.
I am going to listen to this back. very, very carefully. And I am going to take bits out and maybe even put noises over to make sure we are absolutely bloody sure that we're covered.
Yeah, if not watertight, slim, you couldn't fit a Slim Jim in between the words.
The important thing is, let's not let this cloud WrestleMania 5 for us.
I mean, who are we accusing of the impropriety here? Is it Macho Man Randy Savage, who's dead, can't libel the dead, or is it Vince McMahon? It's definitely the former.
Macho Man Randy Savage.
You know that guy with the fucking hat and the Slim Jims? Yeah, that guy.
He's done it all. He's done everything. He's done anything and everything, yeah. And it's disgraceful.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, God, somehow he's back. The slander was so great, he came back to life. Oh, my Lord.
Wow. Well, before we get inducted into the lawyer-related Hall of Fame, we just get out of here.
It was the biggest lawsuit defamation payout in legal history.
The Royal Courts of Justice ain't seen nothing. Nothing of this. Lord Tuggenhattle, whatever his fucking name is, will get involved. If you want to get in touch with the show, as always, it's show@wrestlemepod.com. Rate, subscribe, review us on iTunes or however you get your pods. Just get involved, guys. Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. And then fall out with them and main event against them at a WrestleMania. That's the lesson we've learnt.
Yeah, and do go on the site and buy some merch. Body glove t-shirt. The illegal hooky version of that poster we were talking about last time out.
And my I heart the Royal Courts of Justice Lord Tuggenhat. That's a wholesaler suit. And it's saucy, it's fun, and it's deeply illegal.
Yeah, and very respectful of the great man himself.
Yeah.
Who will not be suing us in the future. Right, we'll be back next week with more WrestleMania!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.